Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, Happy New Year. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 1. To Psalm 1, and I want to share a message this morning. Two choices in 2012. You know, the Word of God challenges us to live according to what God has said. And I want to make sure I get the children dismissed too. Children, you're dismissed to children's church at this time. Awesome. The question is, will we go our own way or will we live by the directions God has given us in His Word? Now, church family, my prayer is that we would leave here today. Listen, every one of us needs to make a decision today, including this preacher. Let's make a decision in our heart. Now, there may be someone who makes a decision publicly. We have an invitation time at the end of this service for people who need to give their life to Christ. They want someone to help them find what the Scripture says about knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There may be someone who has been saved but needs to make that commitment public. There may be someone here who'd like to unite with this church. And so if that's you, I want you to come. There may be some other spiritual decision that needs to be made publicly. You will be invited to do that. But church, listen, I want us all to make a decision today. It may not all be publicly here in the invitation time, but I want us to leave here with this decision made. Lord Jesus, I will go by the directions you've given me in your word. Lord Jesus, in 2012, I will go by the directions you've given me in your word. Even when it's difficult to follow God's word. Now, sometimes it seems easier to go the world's way with all of its glitter, with all of its promises of self-satisfaction. But I want to challenge you to make the right choice in 2012. It reminds me of the story of the man who was walking in the desert. And in the desert, he was so parched and he was looking for water. And he came upon an old well. And by the old well was a bottle of water, just a jar, like a glass bottle of water. And there was a little note that had been faded. And the note said, use this water to prime the pump. There's plenty of water in the pump, but you have to use every drop to prime the pump. And the man was faced with a choice. I'm so thirsty, I want this water in this bottle right now. I'm not sure what this note says is true. So he was faced with a dilemma. But he finally decided, I'm going to go by the directions right here in this on this note. As difficult as it is to reject just taking this bottle and chugging it because I'm so thirsty in this parched desert, I'm going to take the chance that what is in this, what is written to me is true. And so he took that and he primed. How many of y'all have ever, I used to love when I was a kid, my family's all from North Carolina, and the folks up there, they had those old-fashioned, does anybody here have one of those? An old-fashioned well. We got a couple. Can I come out and crank on that thing one time? Man, I tell you, those I used to love that, you know, and you'd get it going, and it'd finally build up pressure. Well, this guy, he took that bottle of water and he primed, he poured it all down in there. And man, it was all sounded clangy. It sounded like he wasn't getting any traction on that thing. So he kept on going. Finally, all of a sudden, you know what it sounds like when it starts building and it starts to come. And all of a sudden, all the water he'd ever wanted, he just sat back and filled himself up with water. And then he did something. He filled up the bottle and he put the note right back there for the next traveler that would come along. You know, sometimes in life we're given instructions. And I want you to know the Word of God has given us instructions of how to live. We are to delight in the Word of God. And when I think about that story and I think about the dilemma that that man faced in following the directions of that little note, that is the dilemma that you and I face. Because many times we can take the easy way out and do things the world's way, do things that seemed conventionally the way to do it, and yet God says something different about that subject. I don't know what it is you're facing today. I don't know if it is a difficulty in your marriage, a difficulty with children and raising children, difficulty in your health, difficulty in some way, and God's Word has given you direction, and yet there seems another way the world wants you to go. I want to encourage you to go God's way. And when I think about that dilemma that we face, I think about one of my favorite passages of Scripture, which is Psalm 1. You find it in God's Word, and I'll read it, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. Blessed is the man, this is Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And by the way, I'm going to read the whole psalm, but I have to stop right there. Don't y'all love it when the preacher cannot get through the reading of it? That's terrible, but I just have to. Can I tell you this? Wherever that is on your page, you need to highlight that little phrase, and whatever he does shall prosper. One of the greatest promises in the Word of God is that little phrase right there. Colin Casper loves Hebrew. That's a hifil imperfect, brother. Now, y'all think, man, that's impressive. I don't even know what that is. I just remember it from seminary. That's a hifil imperfect. All right, look, in verse 4, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. Hang with me, okay? Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now there's basically two people talked about. There's the blessed man, and then there's the ungodly man. We have a choice. We come to a fork in the road in many decisions in life, ladies and gentlemen. And God's Word gives us direction. Everything we need to know about how to live life is found in God's Word. The promises of God are there. But let's look at the blessed man. So your first blank there in Roman numeral 1, the blessed man. The word blessed there are blessed. I used to read that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. The blessed man, it really means, oh, the happinesses of. That's what it means, the blessed man. Oh, the happinesses of the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. All right, letter A, his path. What is his path? All right, it says, blessed is the man who walks not. Walks not. I want you to notice that this is not the power of positive thinking, but the power of negative thinking. Sometimes you say, well, everything's about positive thinking. Well, you know, sometimes in life, it's the power of saying no. The blessed man is characterized by what he turns away from. Think about that. The blessed man in Psalm 1 is characterized by what he has turned away from. Now, number one there, ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel means advice. It means to deliberate. It means to resolve an issue. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel also has with it the idea of the plan or the scheme of the ungodly. So here's the blessed man. He's rejecting ungodly counsel. Number two, an unwise lifestyle, because it says this, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now get this. He's listening. I can do this because I have the wireless. He's walking and he's listening to the counsel, and all of a sudden he's intrigued, and the Bible says, or stands in the path of sinners. He stops. Do you get the idea that there's a progression going on here? When you think about lifestyle, you think about to get comfortable in something. All of a sudden, he is all of a sudden comfortable in an unwise lifestyle. He's standing in the paths of sinners. The word stand means to abide. He lives there. He was walking, but now he is standing. So the blessed man has rejected two things already. He's rejected ungodly counsel. Somebody says, a lady calls her neighbor and she says, "Oh, listen, I'm about to leave this guy. He's the worst I've ever had." And his neighbor says, "Come on over here, honey. I've done it three times. I can tell you all about it." That's not good counsel. You see, so ungodly counsel, an unwise lifestyle. And it says there, it says, "Nor stands in the paths of sinners." The word sinners, the word sin, you know, means to miss. It means to, it's like throwing darts or shooting an arrow at a bullseye and you never hit the target. That's what the word sin means. It means to miss the mark. We're all sinners, the Bible teaches. We've come short of the glory of God. We've missed the bullseye of perfection, the bullseye of the glory of God. And so here is this blessed man who says, "No, I'm not going to stand in the path of those that continue to miss the mark." All right? Number three, it gets to unbearable pride. Unbearable pride, because it moves in a progression from listening to counsel, from standing in the path of sinners, and then all of a sudden, sitting in the seat of the scornful. To sit means to dwell or to remain, and the word scornful means to scoff. You know, there are people today that scoff at God's word and God's ways, and the blessed man is one who rejects those that scoff against the word of God. I don't make a personal attack necessarily at old Ted Turner, but you know, Ted Turner through the years has been no friend of Christianity. He has come out and he's been very hostile towards Christianity. And he said at one time, he spoke at the American Humanist Association, and he said this: "Christianity is a religion for losers," scoffing at what it would mean to follow Jesus Christ. He suggested at one point that the Ten Commandments should be rewritten to eliminate the prohibition against adultery. He said the Pope should get with it. He mocked the pontiff, the Pope, and he called those who oppose abortion, he called them bozos. And he's not the only one, and it's not necessarily a personal attack on Ted. I hope Ted comes to know Jesus. I hope he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, before I met Christ, I scoffed at those that followed Jesus Christ. So let's don't attack the scoffers. And yet, those though that, as we are considering 2012 and following God's ways, if we're going to be blessed, we've got to reject that scornful attitude and those that scoff. I heard about this Christian girl, a freshman, went to a brand new class at a big university. And it was a class, a philosophy class, and the professor started out the whole thing by talking about how foolish it was to believe the Bible. And he said, "You know, this whole story about Jonah and the whale, this is baloney. Who could ever believe that?" And the little Christian girl in the back raised her hand and she said, "Well, professor, I believe that." "How in the world can you believe in the story of Jonah and the whale?" "Well, the Bible says it." "I know the Bible says it, but that's ridiculous. How in the world could a man survive in the belly of a fish?" The little girl said, "I really don't know. I suppose that I'll ask him when I get to heaven how it all worked out." And the professor said, "Well, I tell you what. What if when you get to heaven, what if Jonah's not in heaven? What if he's in hell?" She said, "Well, then why don't you ask him?" Hey, listen. Let me tell you. There are those that will scoff at the Word of God. And yet, we see his path. If we are going to be the blessed man, we've got to decide, what is our path going to be? We're going to reject that counsel. We're going to not stand in the way of sinners. We're not going to sit with scoffers. But then you see his pleasure. What is the blessed man's pleasure? In verse 2, we see this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law. The word delight means to be inclined to. He's pleased with it. The law means the precepts of God, the precepts of the Word of God. And so he delights in the law. And then look what it says. And in his law he meditates day and night. Meditates on the Word of God is number 2 in your outline. Meditates on the Word of God. The word meditate means to mutter. Y'all talk to yourself? That's really kind of what it means. We got one taker that admits it down here. Okay. You know, you look over at somebody and they're in the car next to you with the windows rolled up and they're just talking away and you're thinking, you just want to believe the best. They must be singing with a radio or something. But man, they're carrying on a conversation with themselves. Well, the word mutter means to ponder, or to meditate means to mutter, to ponder. He thinks about and tries to apply the truths of Scripture to his life. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, the blessed man is one who meditates on the Word of God. This is life. This is the air we breathe. Amen. This is life to the believer. What does God think about things? What are God's ways about life? The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. If we're going to live life on another level, we've got to get this in us. I read Dr. Tom Rainer, who's the head of our Lifeway Christian Resources in Nashville. He wrote something this week, and he said, I'm absolutely convinced that the secret to the Christian life, or the key to the Christian life, is getting the Word of God into the people of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got to do that, and we do that by meditating on the Word of God. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 7:2 says, keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. I heard that phrase, the apple of your eye. You know what that is, don't you? The apple of your eye? It's your pupil. Hey, you know what we do? Is one thing I know that you do? You guard your pupil. If I start walking towards you with that finger right there, and I get about a foot from your head, and I start aiming that thing towards your right eye, you're going to stop me before I get there. You're going to close that eye. You'll do everything to protect. Well, the Scripture says we are to regard the law of God as the apple of our eye. The Word of God is precious to us. Now, those of y'all that have worn contacts all your life, you're not in that illustration. Y'all amaze me. People with contacts. Well, I lost my contact. You know, my contact's up there. Here, Calvin, will you get it? And you lift up your eye, and there's a thing up there. I said, I see it, but I ain't going to touch it, you know. Y'all amaze me how you're used to putting your finger in your eye that way. But we are to guard God's Word in us. God's Word as it relates to us, just like we guard the apple of our eye. Joshua 1:8 is a great scripture about the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. God's Word is precious to the people of God, to the blessed man. In many other countries of the world, fragments of the Scripture, copies of the Scripture are precious, and yet we have Bibles all around our house, don't we? I mean, one of the things that is a blessing is that sometimes on our mission trips, we take Bibles. One time we took Bibles to the Alachua County Jail. The inmates needed Bibles, and we announced that to you, and we collected probably 50, 60, 70 Bibles, extra Bibles we all had around us. It's important that we cherish the Word of God. So you see about his path, and you see about what his pleasure is, and then let her see his prosperity. Now, I'm getting to that passage, all right? I'm getting to it. I'll be there in just a minute. First of all, we see an abounding satisfaction, all right? The scripture says in verse 3, if you're the blessed man, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. The word planted there really is the word for transplanted. This is an awesome picture of salvation. It's an abounding satisfaction. In other words, it's a picture of a tree who's in a parched, sandy soil with no nourishment. And they come in and they dig that tree up, that little struggling twig of a tree, and they take that thing to a lush meadow and they dig a hole. And when they dig the hole, boy, there's just so moist in there, and they put that tree in there and they transplant that tree in there. It's almost like you can hear that tree go, ah, that's the way it is. An abounding satisfaction. The blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord will be satisfied. This is the prosperity. It's not necessarily financial. It's not necessarily material, but there's a peace that passes understanding that comes to the one who rests in the Word of God. And then look at this. An astonishing timing. Because it says this, that brings forth its fruit in its season. When it says fruit in its season, it means at the right time. Why am I frustrated sometimes with the Lord? Because I'm not getting the answer I want now. But you know what? The Lord didn't promise that. He promised me fruit in its season. You just hold on. You know, Noah preached for 120 years before the rains came. That's a long time. I don't know how long you've been praying for your situation, but Noah preached for 120 years. I'll never forget reading the book about Doug Knapp. Some people in our church know Doug Knapp. He was a missionary to Tanzania, and there's a book. It's in my library. I got to find it. It's in one of those places I've got it. But it's called Thunder on the Mountain, the story of God's blessing in Tanzania. Do you know that Doug Knapp was in Tanzania for 25 years? He was an agricultural missionary. He was a farmer, and God called him to go on the mission field, and he went to Tanzania, and he built bridges with the people, showing them how to grow crops. The story that I heard is that he preached for 15 years with, you know how many converts? Zero. How would you like to go on the mission field and come back and give your report and say, well, we've been there 5 years, we're loving the people, but we hadn't had any converts. But you know what Doug Knapp did? He didn't quit. And ladies and gentlemen, the blessed man is the one who relies on the Word of God no matter what the cost. He puts his faith and trust in the Lord, and guess what? He all of a sudden realizes there's astonishing timing to the things of God. Doug Knapp, I'm told that in his first 15 years, didn't have converts, but in the last 10 years, listen to this, he baptized with his own hands 25,000 people in Tanzania. And 50,000 came to Christ. And that's why they wrote the book, Thunder on the Mountain. The winds of revival moved through. Now, do you think those winds of revival would have moved if he had said, oh, I'm just going to give up? He stayed with the truths of God's Word, lived it out among those people, and God moved in a powerful way. The former dean of the Graham School the Billy Graham School of Missions and Evangelism at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, is a man, Dr. Charles Lawless, a brilliant man who was burdened. I would go to these seminars with him at Southern Seminary, and he would come in and he'd say, men, I want you to pray for my dad. I've been praying for my father for over 20 years, 25 years that he would be saved. He's lost. And then towards the end of those seminars that I was in, Dr. Lawless came in and he put it out on his email and everything. My dad has come to Christ. Astonishing timing. The Lord has the timing. Our job is to be faithful to the Word of God, to dig in with the Word of God and hold on to the Lord. Put our grip around the Word of God. And then number three, an attractive consistency. Look at this, verse 3. Verse 3 is such a powerful verse in this psalm. that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, an attractive consistency. The word wither means to wilt or to disgrace. Ladies and gentlemen, we need an attractive consistency in life. You know, one of the things that that we're praying, one of the things that I know you're praying, is that we'll finish well. It's one thing to start well, you know, bust out of the starting gate in the Christian life, but we need to finish well. And the scripture says, you hold on to the word of God and your leaf will not wither. That's an amazing consistency that God can give you. And I tell you what, I'm thankful in the life of this fellowship of believers that we've had those that have been faithful. I call them, in my book, they're the mighty oaks of the Christian life. You have some mighty oaks you can look to in your Christian life? Man, I tell you what, I've got people in my life that from when I was a little kid, I looked up to them because they loved Jesus. When I went to high school, I looked up to them because they loved Jesus. When I went to the University of Florida, I looked up to them because they loved Jesus. Then I met Kelly and we got married. We started having a family. I looked up to them and they loved Jesus. And now I'm a little bit older. I'm going to quit telling the specifics. Anyway, I'm a little bit older and I'm still looking to them. Praise God for the mighty oaks. An attractive consistency for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you hold on to the word of God. God will magnify that testimony and use you mightily in people's lives. You say, oh, nobody's looking at me. You better watch out. Somebody's looking to you. Somebody, when they get still, deep down in their heart, they want to believe that Jesus Christ really is real, and you're giving them the evidence. And I just believe they're going to come to Christ because of your faithfulness. But then we get to number four, and this is what I want to get to here, an awesome promise. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The word prosper means to push forth. And as I mentioned to Colin, that's a hifil imperfect. Here's what that scripture's saying. And by the way, I learned this at Southwestern Seminary. Brother Rodriguez, where'd you go to seminary, brother? With Luther Rice. At Southwestern, Dr. Garland was my Hebrew professor, and we translated this psalm out of the Hebrew language. And he said, now, guys, this is a hifil imperfect. And what this means is this. It's not that whatsoever you do, you will prosper. What it means is this. And whatsoever this blessed man does, he shall cause it to prosper. Let me tell you what this says. This is saying that when I hold on to the word of God and live that way, even in difficult circumstances, when I meditate on the word of God and I say, Lord, I'm yours today. I want to go by your word. I want to live by your ways. The Bible teaches that God looks out of heaven. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. The Lord's looking down on us, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord's looking down on this world, and he's looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him, those whose heart is turned towards him. God is looking out of heaven. He looks down here on this church, and he sees those that are seeking to do right, seeking to live by the word of God. And the Bible teaches that whatsoever he doeth, listen, he shall cause it to prosper. How in the world can you live life knowing, Lord, I want to make the right decision in parenting. I want to make the right decision in my business. I want to be honest, and I'm faced with this dilemma. Lord, I'm praying I want to do the right thing. Let me tell you, you can make those decisions with assurance, because when your heart is perfect towards him, the Lord will prosper you. It's like the picture, did y'all ever like mazes? You ever like going to a maze, trying to find your way out of a maze or in the middle of a maze? You're trying to find a special spot in the maze and you're wondering which way to go. I picture myself, I'm trying to do right and I'm running through life. The Bible's teaching me this, that if I try to go the wrong way, the Lord will put up a blockade and get me in the right way. You're talking about a promise. You're talking about something exciting for 2012. I don't know all the decisions I'm going to face this year. You don't know all the decisions you're going to face this year, but there's one decision that I can make, and I can get up every day of my life and say, Lord God, I'm yours today. I want to live by your word. Will you guide me? Will you direct me? Will you help me? And I have the promise that if my heart is turned towards him, if I'm meditating on his word and delighting in his word, then I believe God, here I go off. I'm trying to go this way. And the Lord's saying, well, there he goes again. Put up a blockade. Put up a blockade. I got to get him right there. Help me, angels. Boop, there he is. I can get there because of the promise of the Lord. I cannot control the world around me, but I can sell out to Christ and live by the word of God and reject ungodly counsel. This is what is meant by the scripture, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. It's also what is meant by Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, to me that is one of the most exciting promises you'll ever find in the word of God. But then we see the ungodly man quickly. What was once concealed will be revealed, because it says this in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They thresh that wheat. And when you look at it, you've got the good stuff and you've got the chaff. You've got the stuff that is no good, is of no value. It's like straw. And sometimes it's hard to differentiate between it. But I want you to know this. The scripture is teaching us that the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. They thresh that wheat and a breeze comes through, and that wheat that's heavy stays put in the breeze, but the breeze moves on the chaff. And the scripture says the man who is walking in ungodly counsel, not meditating on the word of God, going his own way, is going to be like the chaff. And what was once concealed, it was unknown, will be revealed eventually. And then letter B, he has the judgment of God to face, because in verse 5 it says this, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The word stand is from a word meaning to rise. The word judgment means at the verdict. When the verdict is given, the ungodly shall not stand. They will not rise. He ultimately will perish in verse 6. But the way of the ungodly, the very last phrase of the psalm, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word perish has with it the idea of not escaping. There is no escape. There's always a movie or some documentary about people that escape from these jails or from prison. There's some way out. They thought of a way they could get out. The scripture makes it clear the ungodly will not escape. They will perish. Ladies and gentlemen, 2012, we have a choice to make. Are we going to live according to the word of God and hold on to his promises, hold on to his ways, hold on to his word, and be the blessed man? Are we going to live according to our own way? Billy Graham tells the story of he and Mrs. Graham being invited to lunch on a Caribbean island by one of the wealthiest men in the world. At the lunch, Graham said that it seemed that the man was on the verge of tears during the whole lunch. Finally, the man said to Dr. and Mrs. Graham, I'm the most miserable man on this island. He said, look out there. He said, there's my yacht. He said, there's my helicopter. There's my plane. I can go anywhere I want to go. I can do anything I want to do. But he said, I'm the most miserable man on this island. Dr. Graham, in his book where I read that, said, Mrs. Graham and I prayed with him and tried to point him to Christ as being the answer for life, to living life according to the word of God. And they went back down to the little cottage where they were staying. Later that afternoon, they had a visit from a 75-year-old retired Baptist preacher who was from London. He was a widower, and he was taking care of his two invalid sisters. Dr. Graham in his book said, the guy reminded me of a cricket. He was so happy, he was just hopping around all over the place. And he said to Dr. Ms. Graham, he said, I don't have 2 English pounds to rub together. He said, but Dr. Graham, I'm the happiest man on this island. Dr. Graham said to Ruth, who is the richest man on this island? And he said in his book, we both knew the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Jesus Christ gives life. And the Word of God are the directions. You've come up to a parched, you're parched, you come up to a well. And the directions say, go by the directions, it's worth it. You'll be grateful that you do things by the directions. And you have a choice to make. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Bow with me in prayer. Join with me in prayer at this time.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.